Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, September the 18th, 264th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Mark Lovelace. Hey, guy.
How are you doing?
Good, good. Your golfers win this weekend?
Excuse me?
Your golfers.
My golfers?
Not your football team, not your baseball team, not your college team, your golfer.
I don't own a football team, baseball team, or a golfing team.
Oh.
My only team's the Crabs, and their season's done.
Yeah. Cooked.
That's right. We get another crab season coming up.
Yes,
We get two crab seasons a year. That's good.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the Coastal Commission event of last week, and also look forward to another round of the general plan discussions also. So we'll look backwards, we'll look forwards, and we'll do that when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Stephen Wright. Quote, anywhere is walking distance if you've got the time. That's frightening. Hey, we had an one quick thing before we get into the stuff that you were wanting to. Status of the airport.
It's still there.
Yeah. Well, we were there this past weekend, and I was talking with one of the fellas. The two early flights, both were leaving, hoping to leave by right around 12 o'clock. And it wasn't an issue here. It was an issue
in San Francisco.
San Francisco. And I don't know if the fella, if it was just kind of an intuitive statement. So I'm not presuming this is scientific or 100% factual, said that 12 out of 13 flights leaving Arcata Eureka will leave significantly late because of the problems. I would think that's got to be putting a world of financial hurt on the airport as well as on individuals. I'm flying to Cleveland in a couple of weeks, and I'm going out of Oakland. I'll drive down and take a full work day to do it because I have to be there.
Well, I've been to two meetings with airlines in the last month now, trying to, as a part of our recruitment efforts, and that's one of the messages that we're trying to get across to them is the opportunity that's there to provide service through anywhere except San Francisco. Then, yeah, there's different airlines that serve different hubs.
Various, even to Medford.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to them about that how much traffic is choosing to drive someplace else. And it's not, you know, that's no small endeavor. When you choose to drive out of here, that's like saying, okay, I'm going to add, you know, 6 hours round trip driving time
or
10 hours round trip driving time just so that I don't have to go through SFO. And that really speaks to the willingness of folks to find some alternative than going through SFO. And that's something that's attractive basically to every airline that's out there because United that serves
other than United.
Well, they serve us through SFO, but they also could serve us through LAX. And so if they provided service to LAX, they'd probably pick up a lot of people who have given up flying out of here because it all goes through SFO.
Are they in Sacramento? I know they pulled out of Oakland, which was...
United still provides service through Sacramento, though that's in a contract with SkyWest, and that how that's arranged, there's details of how they work in a contract like that. And SkyWest recently made changes to their schedule, which makes it a less effective route timing-wise. It leaves in the middle of the day, so anyone that's going down there for business is going to have to go down for 2 days.
Versus driving at the night before or leaving at 4 in the morning?
Yeah, if you're going to have to go, if you're going to have to be
it's
there
relative,
over
baby.
Day, yeah. So,
Okay, so there's still some stuff percolating. We haven't heard anything in a while.
Yeah, those efforts are ongoing, and I can say, having been to two meetings now, that I'm feeling very positive about the likelihood of us getting new service with one or another of the airlines that we're talking to. But as I've been telling folks, it's promising, but there are no promises.
Well, the fear I have, Mark, is I know these guys like to look at trends and all that kind of gobbledygook. Well, the trends are really broken. I'd fly out of here in a heartbeat if I could. Okay, so that number won't register times however many other people are full of frustration and are avoiding also. So whatever the numbers are, have got to be artificially depressed because of these other things.
But we do have those numbers. We have the numbers from before when we did have service to LAX, and we say
that's so good enough
how
for
many
them.
People flew to LAX. And another thing that's helpful is we also have the numbers in the increase in service through Medford and Santa Rosa since we lost our LAX route. And you can actually see when we lost that, they both gained traffic.
Oh, so you're able so to track folks through those airports.
Yeah, so there's ways that we can demonstrate that, the pent-up demand that's there, and that's really what you're speaking to, is folks that are sitting there waiting for anything else other than an SFO route to be offered. And we think that there's a lot of demand for that, and the numbers bear that out. So, like I said, the meetings that we've been having have been really positive, and unfortunately, airlines don't want us, don't want anyone talking about their plans until they've said go.
Is there a stumbling block, or is it just a lack of urgency?
It's a very long-term scheduling commitment for an airplane or airline. When they're going to start up new service, they have to time it for there's times of year that they do that. Every plane that they move from one place to another shifts everything else it touches. And so they have to do a lot of scheduling work, and they have to get it plugged into their system early enough to sell tickets far enough in advance that hopefully it can be successful from day one. You know, if they're going to start a service, they're not going to announce it a week before it starts because no one's going to
buy tickets. I was thinking, I bet you 3 weeks lead time here, it'd be full.
Well, they like to look at 3 to 6 months lead time.
I understand, so, but I'm just, at least the conversation you've had, I've had, if we can avoid that train wreck. I almost said at all costs. That's not fair. KINS, News and Information Times 319. When we come back, we'll talk about the Coastal Commission.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the Coastal Commission met in town, in Eureka Town, last week. For a lot of folks, I bet you we don't know where the meeting schedule is because it happens so infrequently here, or even for that regard, who our local rep is. Okay, fine, and maybe that's the way it ought to be. That's not necessarily a plus or a minus. But the big thing that I think most of us were concerned about or focusing on was the interchange at Indianola. What form would it take? How would it go? When last we convened, and I was with Virginia last Wednesday, staff was saying no, it appeared like it was going to be tough sledding, even though 95% of all projects that are in the Coastal Commission that Caltrans presents are approved. Okay. You guys did some stuff on Tuesday, then there was the public testimony stuff that was going on Thursday. obviously the decision came the way that we were all hoping for. Would you mind going through the process relatively quickly? What happened? What triggered?
Sure.
What took a no, no way, no way in this lifetime to okay?
Well, as you noted, you know, the Coastal Commission has this reputation as, you know, shutting down projects left and right. But the reality is that they actually approve 95%, historically have approved 95% of all projects that have come before them over the years.
All projects, not highway projects?
Yeah, all projects.
All projects?
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that 95% of projects are, you know, perfect or approvable when they land on the commission's desk. And so in the form that it had landed on staff's desk and that staff had gone through it, they had not been able to recommend approval because it has to meet certain – it has to be consistent with the Coastal Act. In this case, it's with the Coastal Management Program within it. The hearing on Thursday was specifically for what's called a consistency determination. It's not the actual development permit. It'll come later. And so it's very specific what they have to be able to find. And the Coastal Commission does not have the ability under the rules they operate under, you know, which were set in the Coastal Act, approved by the voters. They don't have the ability to approve something if it's not consistent by saying, oh, well, it's in the greater public interest or there's overriding considerations or something like that.
So safety doesn't enter into the equation?
The public interest they get to weigh is defined within the Coastal Act. And so they have to find ways to make it fit within there.
So they could, in theory, say, that's a great project, Mark.
You know, they could say it's the best project in the world, but it's not consistent with the Coastal Act.
We can't approve it because of these factors.
Yeah.
And the writing of the law.
And so the issue then is for staff and for the commission to provide a path forward of how to bring it into compliance. And that's really what staff did. And that same document that they put out recommending denial, they also said, but it could be approved with three conditions. And they laid out three conditions. One was that since coastal access for non-motorized vehicles, for bicyclists, pedestrians, equestrians, is a significant issue in the Coastal Act, they can't approve a project that doesn't provide for it.
Caltrans, even where none exists.
Yeah, Caltrans was not providing a dedicated bike and pedestrian trail because they were, you know, of the belief and confident that that's happening separately in the NCRA corridor.
Yeah, it's a separate project.
Yeah, but the thing is, it didn't exist in a form other than a belief at this point. There's no binding agreement that it's happening. So the Coastal Commission was simply saying, before this comes back for a coastal development permit, there has to be something binding to ensure that that is actually happening. Because otherwise,
so the other project, if it gets approved, you can just kind of attach that as an amendment and say, here it is.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's, you know, the trail. What Caltrans was saying is the trail's going to happen as something separate from our project. And so the commission can't tell Caltrans, well, you have to take over and build that trail if it's going to be separate. But they don't have the jurisdiction or the authority to be able to require it of Caltrans then and there. If it's, you know, it's a separate project, it created a difficulty. So what they're saying is, before this can come back for the coastal development permit or before construction can begin, there has to be something concrete in seeing that actually move forward. And so
the other trail has to be completed?
It's still a little bit nebulous. I've had discussions with folks following the meeting in terms of exactly what form. They said that construction of the corridor project, the interchange essentially, can't begin until construction of the trail is beginning. And the city of Arcata's portion of that is already set to go, just waiting for funding, which they thought they had all
lined
up.
So Randy pulls the trigger, and then that qualifies step one.
Yeah, as step one, though that's only part way. They did, you know, specify that, you know, it needs to be all the way from Arcata to Eureka. So, but essentially what they've said is they just want to see that that is actually happening. And I think anything that comes back and says, you know, here is a commitment that it's actually going to happen. The NCRA has given approval for, you know, and we're talking, you know, rail trail with rail. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the rail banking issue or things like that that have caused us to not move forward for so long. So I think that's essentially what the commission's looking for, is they just want to see that there is an assurance that this project will move forward on its own separate path.
So to look at the other side of that coin, if that project hadn't been going on, they would have scuttled this?
Well, that's my guess.
Okay.
And because, you know, again, they can't approve a project that doesn't provide for coastal access for non-motorized traffic, for bikes, bicyclists, and pedestrians. The California
Coastal Act. That was part of the 71
decision. The Coastal Act, yeah. Public access is really the most critical piece that they're for that issue.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Vern's Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity when you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Vern's. Get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Vern's Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:34. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, considering the coastal project, the hump or whatever we want to call it out.
The interchange?
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. interchange for me is like what we see by 14th Street.
Cloverleaf, diamond kind of thing.
You go down both sides. I mean, it's a different dynamic in my head. You said that there are three conditions that they mm-hmm. hooked to this thing. When they said yes, first mm-hmm. one being trail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it sounds like that's achievable. Maybe not tomorrow, but it's happening. It's mm-hmm. in progress. What was the next one on your list?
Well, there were three that staff put forward. There were four that the commission adopted. So they added one, actually changed one too. But the three staff had put in was one: there has to be a firm linkage to the Bay Trail. Two, there needed to be some additional documentation about the wetlands that they were, you know, going to use for mitigation. You know, anytime you're taking wetlands, there has to be, you know, some mitigation for that. You have to be, you know, protecting or improving wetlands someplace else.
And the wetlands that this thing is going to take away is in the Meridian?
In the Meridian and on the shoulders, both. Because
that's about where it stops on the one side, where on the Indianola side.
Yeah, but it was going to take a fair bit of that. And there's also places where they're lengthening the acceleration and deceleration lanes, entrance and exit ramps, and those will take additional wetlands. So there were
the whole space between north and south bound.
Yeah,
for this purpose is defined as wetlands.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, so one of the issues was that Caltrans was proposing to take or to use as mitigation wetlands or some lands that are already wetlands and that are in agricultural production. And the Coastal Commission tries to protect working agricultural lands in the coastal zone. And so they don't like to see ag lands taken.
But isn't that where most of the wetlands are? We got cows grazing on Reclaimed Bay.
So what they like to look for is lands that are either wetlands that are in, you know, poor condition or where there's development, you know, old development or something that can be removed and returned to wetlands, where there's a gain there without removing something that the commission's also trying to protect. So taking
old development and not developing it and letting it revert back is one way.
Yeah, something that actually provides a net gain to the wetlands. But in this case, you know, they said that use of ag lands for wetlands is allowable, but they need to provide a little more documentation as to, you know, that there aren't other wetlands available.
So Caltrans will be buying up a couple of properties or buying?
Yeah, there's a couple of properties that they've been in discussion with over along Samoa Boulevard area and out by the dunes.
Oh, so it doesn't have to be adjacent?
No.
Just somewhere in the neighborhood or somewhere in the state?
There's proximity rules to that. I'm not sure exactly the details of that. But so those were three of them. the what do we have? The
trail and
the trail, the wetlands. Oh yeah, the third one that staff was proposing was they needed to come back with some different design other than the raised overcrossing. They didn't like that, and they didn't think they could find it consistent with the Coastal Act because they thought it was growth-inducing. The commission, after looking at it, determined that they felt it was not would not be growth-inducing, would not cause more development there at Indianola Road. And so they were able to pass on that, but they did feel there was a need for additional visual mitigation, and so they wanted Caltrans to remove more billboards than what they'd been proposing. And of course, Caltrans, their jurisdiction regarding that is only ones that are within Caltrans right-of-way, which Caltrans has been trying to get removed for some time now anyway.
Wasn't there a Green California Highway or some visual thing like 20 years ago?
Caltrans has been, Caltrans and some of the other public agencies, almost all those billboards, at least on the Bay side, are actually on public lands. And the public agencies that own those lands have been trying to get the billboards removed.
Long-term contracts, things like
that. There's a number of different companies that hold them, but I know in at least one case I've seen letters where the company has been saying, you have to prove that we don't have a permit, which is essentially asking them to prove a negative, instead of the agency just saying, well, you have to prove you have a current permit. And they're saying, no, we don't have to show you that we have one. You have to prove we don't have one.
They played this rodeo before.
Yeah. And so what happens is the billboard company is not paying the public agency for leasing the land for their billboards. And so they're essentially being squatters at this point. Doesn't mean that the cost of putting something on that billboard goes down. They're pocketing that money that would normally go to leasing the land. So it's ultimately going to remedy a situation that's been going on for a long time. Some people thought that meant that all the billboards along the bay are going to be gone. But I thought it was supposed to be. I believe it's only the ones that Caltrans has any authority over. So you can't
Caltrans specific, not other.
Yeah. And I don't know if anyone knows right offhand, which ones that means. But
Considering that some billboards would be going down, was there any consideration for those businesses that use billboards because the prices of the others will go up due to scarcity, or those companies that are currently realizing revenue from there?
I think the idea is that those companies are going to have excess advertising revenue to spend on your station.
That's how I want this baby to play out. But I was thinking restraint of trade or eminent domain almost pops. I'm sure the billboard guys have used those throughout the country all the time. Their legal guys are there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, to have somebody come in or my equivalent, mm-hmm. somebody come in and say, by the way, you have to knock down your tower.
If you came out one morning, at your house and found someone had put up a billboard on your front lawn and you said, take it out, and they said, prove I don't have a right to have it there.
there would be an event for Humboldt Bay Fire. Be taken care of.
So that's essentially, it's a property rights issue. In this case, the property, the property owner happens to be a public agency, but they have the right to determine who can or can't,
None of them have permits
permits. There's different public agencies that hold some of these lands, and there's also a number of private lands, and there's also issues with, land that's owned by one entity, but, Caltrans has a right-of-way across it, and so the details about which ones I think is something that's going to have to be figured out. But my understanding is it's not talking about, all the billboards along the bay because Caltrans doesn't have authority over all of them. So it'll be some subset of them.
KINS, News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the general plan, I know you guys are doing more outreach, more different times of the day and night, that kind of stuff. Is it working? Are you accomplishing the goals that the process is trying to achieve with the various meetings that you guys are having?
I think the process with the board of going through the general plan policy by policy, element by element, I think has been helpful because, you know, though I worked on the general plan for a lot of years before I got on the board and have been on the board 5 years now working with it, we've had, you know, changeover with the board, and we have a lot of board members who don't have that kind of background with and that kind of familiarity. So I think it's been helpful for us to have those discussions. Coming up this next Monday.
Now, are these meetings for you guys, or are these meetings for us guys?
They're meetings for the board to work through this, but they're all public meetings. They're all open meetings, and we're, you know, looking for public comment to help inform us. We're getting recommendations from a few different groups at this point. For a while, there'd been kind of this collection of various special interest groups, you know, the Realtors Association, the Home Builders, Healthy Humboldt, NEC, groups like this, that were all working together under the title of the Ad Hoc Working Group. And they're not an official body. The county didn't create them. They're just saying, we're going to work together
just
and provide your input.
What's going on.
Provide our input together and try to work out as many differences as we can behind the scenes before, you know, instead of having a big battle in the board chamber. But more recently, we've seen that some of the members of the Ad Hoc Working Group have pulled out and became the Resource Lands Working Group, which is a group that existed before, but they'd kind of worked within the group for a while, and now, you know, then we started getting recommendations from the Ad Hoc Working Group and the Resource Lands Working Group. More recently, the Humboldt Association of Realtors pulled out of the Ad Hoc Working Group and is now providing their comments separate again, too. And quite frankly, you know, there's been other groups, you know, that have been members of it that have, you know, despite that, have still gotten up and, you know, from time to time provided their own separate input. So I think that we're kind of seeing, to some degree, this group, I wouldn't say disbanding, but it's no longer going to be kind of this, you know, singular voice of these special interests. We're going to have a number of them, yeah, that we'll have to pick and choose from, which will add, you know, more and more value to the discussion that the board has. So this Monday, on the 23rd, we're going to be revisiting the guiding principles for the general plan, and that's really the foundation, you know, it was kind of the blueprint, the work order for staff in developing the general plan that we now have before us, you know, where the board said, these are the primary points, what we want this plan to achieve. Now go develop a plan that does that and bring it back to us. And so I've contended that, you know, it's inappropriate to change the work order. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a house and it's almost done, you're putting the paint on it and, you know, then ask your builder to go out and bring you brand new plans doesn't really make sense at that point. So we'll have a discussion about the core nature of the guiding principles and then what changes we may or may not want to make to them. That's going to be this Monday at a special evening meeting at 6 o'clock. So we're really looking forward to having a lot of members of the public come out this Monday at 6 o'clock for a discussion of the guiding principles.
At the Supervisor's Chambers.
At the Board of Supervisors Chambers.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.